919, the stateside connection with Kula, and broadcasting live from Texas all the way through to Joburg. One of my favorite parts from this past month of just connecting with you again is also connecting with South Africans across the globe who are doing extraordinary things. We have spoken to people in Switzerland, in Colombia. This week, we are going all the way to the Solomon Islands. And when I first got in touch with Alison a couple of weeks ago, I was like, Solomon Islands? That sounds familiar. But where exactly is it? So, Solomon Islands is a country that has six major islands and then over 900 smaller islands northeast of Australia. To get the time right to speak to Alison, so I'm 7 hours behind you in Joburg at the moment. It is 6:21 in the morning here. 5 a.m. my time was 9 p.m. Alison's time, and that's kind of the middle ground that we got. What Alison Birchall is doing in the Solomon Islands, she's originally from Cape Town, is that she is the CEO of the National Sports Council. She has been tasked with building the organization. She got all sorts of facilities built for last year's Pacific Games. And overall, to get the population more active, more healthy, more productive, it's a big task. But it seems like this woman is in the right place at the right time. You're going to find out why. She is a fascinating woman. This is part one of my interview with her now, and we'll check out part two in the next hour. My apologies in advance for my croaky voice, because it was really early. Anyway, here's part one of my interview with Alison Birchall. Joining us this morning is Alison Birchall, who is the CEO of Solomon Islands National Sports Council. And I had to do some reading up just to get my head around Solomon Islands. I kind of had an idea of where it was vicinity-wise, but not exactly what it entailed. Six major islands, over 900 smaller islands to the northeast of Australia. It sounds like a really intriguing place, Alison. So I'm so glad that you're joining us this morning, that we can find out more about what you're doing there.
Oh, thanks for having me. I'm looking forward to what you're going to be asking me and checking if I can answer all the questions you have.
Okay, wonderful. Well, I know that you studied in UCT. So let's start with your career in South Africa, because you have you had a really robust career in South Africa and then lived in several different parts of the world after that. Can you share with us a little bit about what the kind of work that you were doing in the years prior to you leaving South Africa?
Well, I went straight into the University of Cape Town administration from being a student. So I worked in the student affairs department, and I slowly worked up the ladder. So I ended up being head of the Student Affairs Secretariat, which had two real roles. One was to manage the administration of a number of committees. So that would be the Student Health Committee, the Sports Council, and the Student Counseling Coordinating Committee, and a whole bunch of other ones. The Student Affairs Committee was the main one. And then that was kind of, in those days, it was the early 90s, late 80s. So there was still a little bit of political activity going on from a student perspective. And so part of our work was looking at the politics of some of the activities, the anti-apartheid movement, and thankfully things were starting to move in the right direction after a number of decades plus. So those were the two main roles. Then, as my boss said, I get bored when the trains are running on time. So I started looking at things to keep my mind occupied. And so I joined the National Olympic and Sports Council, as it was then, in the Western Cape. And then similarly, in a volunteer capacity, I climbed up the ranks there, as well as getting involved in establishing the Western Cape Sports Rackets, Squash Rackets Federation, which was a non-racial equivalent. And then we went through unity negotiations in squash. Created Squash South Africa, and I'm now Vice President of Squash South Africa, even from Solomon Islands, and that's the wonder of technology. So you and I are talking from two different time zones, and it's not too difficult to do that with South Africa as well.
Yeah.
And then I, again, got a little bit bored, so I then got involved in the Cape Town Sports Commission, which was about building facilities in the township areas. And that led into the Cape Town Olympic and Paralympic bid for 2004, which didn't quite succeed as we hoped. But it opened my eyes to the Paralympic movement. And so in when the bid went down the tubes, I went and joined the National Paralympic Committee in Johannesburg. So I went from Cape Town to Johannesburg. Unfortunately, I would say in many instances.
I'm a Joburg girl, but I do understand. Okay, you can't compete with Cape Town when it comes to beauty and lifestyle.
Well, absolutely, but Joburg's a lot more social, and I always used to say to people that's because you've got nothing else to do in Joburg. You know, whereas in Cape Town, you've got the beach and the wine lands and all of that type of stuff. And then again, a little bit of a challenge. So from the Paralympic Committee, we reformed into the Disability Sports South Africa, and then we brought all of the disability groups in on an equal basis, whereas the Paralympics was just really looking at people with physical and visual impairments and to some extent those with intellectual impairments. And then I jumped into SASCOC, the South African Sports Confederation Olympic Committee, for a short while before I went and joined the Department of Sport and Recreation. And then I jumped a lot further north. So from Pretoria, I went up to Lausanne in Switzerland and worked with the International Table Tennis Federation. And so I was the director of operations there, and I was working with specifically the Paralympics. And then they gave me the women's portfolio to do, and then they decided I should do the anti-doping portfolio, and then I should help to review some of the governance structures of the ITTF and all sorts of interesting things like that. We also did a young umpires project linking into the Youth Olympic Games in 2014. First in 2010 and then in 2014. And then I went sideways in many ways, and I worked in an IT company related to sport. So trying to use IT to manage some of the administrative and boring paperwork stuff. So online registrations for memberships, entries for sports events and that type of stuff. And then I took a really big jump to Fiji. Because obviously being in the UK is not always that exciting. So I applied for a job in Fiji as permanent secretary, and they were stupid enough to give me the job. So I went to work in the Ministry of Youth and Sports there for a while. And then, much to my distress, they put me into education, which was a bit of a nightmare. So I went from a ministry of about 120 people to one with 13,000. And so I had a really good excuse not to know anyone's name. And so that was the only good thing about it, I think. But it was quite interesting at times, because it was really about trying to modernize education and the systems in the ministry. And then obviously COVID came along. And at that point, I decided that it was probably best to move on. I'd spent 4 years in Fiji. And probably the timing was quite good. So when COVID came, I went to the UK for a short while. And did a diploma in corporate governance, a professional diploma in corporate governance. I did some of the theoretical work for executive coaching, and I did a couple of consultancy jobs. And then I got the job in Solomon Islands, the Sports Council.
Extraordinary. So you've been there since March 2022. Extremes from Switzerland to Fiji and now to the Solomon Islands, which certainly has its challenges, from what I've read just in terms. I have Wikipedia knowledge, but you have knowledge about being based there for the last few years. So you've been mandated to build the National Sports Council. You got facilities built for last year's Pacific Games, and then just getting the population more active and healthy and productive. I mentioned a little while ago, we're dealing with a population of around 735,000 people. What were your first-hand experiences of the Solomon Islands, work aside, just from a lifestyle perspective, in terms of how different it is compared to what life in South Africa is like?
Once upon a time, I went to Thailand, and the tour guide said, "We have three seasons here: hot, very hot, and very, very hot." And that's pretty much the same here in Solomon. So one of my colleagues said to me the other day, it's either hot and dry or hot and wet here. And it is, I mean, I think the average daytime temperature is probably around 33. And then the humidity, because it's islands, it's a bit like Durban. And because it's islands, you get a lot of humidity around the place. There are a lot of similarities, I think, a number of similarities with South Africa, I think. The culture is similar in that it's fairly hierarchical. in many instances, people will wait to be told what to do because of the sort of the village nature, where you're, where the village chief tells you what you should do that day, type of thing. So it's you know, from that perspective, it's quite similar. I tell people in South Africa, stop moaning about the potholes, because they're bigger and better in Solomon Islands. But yeah, I mean, I think overall it's you know, as a pace of work, it's a lot slower. So you know, we talk about African time, but I think Solomon time and Fiji time take it to a slightly different level. So yeah, so it's always very interesting. So yeah, I mean, if you go out into the villages, you know, as a woman, you're supposed to wear a skirt or a wraparound, you know. So the idea of wearing shorts or trousers is not terribly a successful way of operating. So it's respect for the culture that needs to be applied, and that again is something similar to South Africa, where we need to respect the different cultures that we have in the country and understand them and learn from them.
Fascinating woman. That's Alison Birchall, who is now based in the Solomon Islands. She is the CEO of the National Sports Council there and has been mandated to get the population more active, healthy, productive. She's building up the organization. So she just gave us a brief overview, or an introduction rather, into her time there so far. She's been based in the Solomon Islands since March 2022. In about an hour's time, we'll play out part two of that interview, where she'll be getting into the nitty-gritty of what exactly her work involves. This is the Stateside Connection on 919 with Kula, where we're featuring South Africans doing extraordinary things across the globe.
The good times never stop. 919.